Good morning and welcome to Manna. I'm Pastor Ron here at Lighthouse, and I'm ready for our daily devotion that we like to share with you all. And I have been going through the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 29, and today we're going to dig deep as we dive into verse 3. Oh, you're going, he's only going to cover one verse? Well, let's see how far we get today. But it's a really important verse for all of us to dig deep and to understand what is being said and the importance of it for life. And so we want to start with prayer. So won't you join me right now? Father, Abba, it's so good to be loved by you. The amazing thing of life is that in the worst of our worst, Lord, you love us, and you say, I want a relationship with you. I want you to draw near to me. You have so much to share with us. You have so much to bless us with that we might know what the treasure of righteousness is all about. Not our own righteousness by our works, Lord, but by the righteousness of God that you have given to us through your Son. And so, Lord, teach us today. Oh, Lord, deepen our understanding, increase our confidence about who you are and the love that you have for us. And not just knowledge about you, but having a relationship with you, receiving you, and living for you. Thank you, Lord, as we ask your blessing on our time now. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So in Proverbs chapter 29, we've looked at the parallel that exists between Proverbs chapter 29 and, of course, the book of James. And today we're going to look at one verse, I think, and it is verse 3. And so I want to read it to us, and then we'll back up and we'll just dive into it. It says this, "He who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth." Well, that's great practical wisdom, right? In terms of relationship, it's called respect and honor and dishonor, if you will. But when we look at this verse, we can look at this term love, and it's the Old Testament term, ahav. I believe is the proper pronunciation, but don't hold me to that, please. But you can look it up, A-H-A-V. And it means to desire or to delight. There's this vehement bond of relationship in this type of love between the heart and the mind. So they're not disconnected. They're connected and they're inseparable. They're unbreakable. It's like the love that you have for your children. It's like, man, no matter what they do, you love them. Oh, you might be frustrated with them from time to time, but the reality is your love doesn't change. And so it's a reflection of the love that God has for us, obviously. But it's that close friendship, and you know, that says, I want to be with you. I want to be present with you. And I want you to be present with me, you know, engaged, not as in our world today where you see couples going for a walk. And I saw this the other day where the husband is walking ahead of the wife and the husband has his phone and he's doing whatever he's doing. And about, I don't know, 15 feet behind him is the wife. And she's doing the same thing. You know, it's like, put the phones away, leave them at home. When you go on a walk, look at each other, talk to each other. That's the type of friendship that's just saying, I don't want to be with anybody else. I don't want this thing distracting me. I don't want anything to distract me. I want to spend time with you. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy so much about my relationship with my wife, Susie, is she became my best friend. There was no one else that I wanted to hang around. And it wasn't out of this desire for the flesh. No, it was, man, I came to understand and know is it's love. It's a deep appreciation for a person that says, I don't want to spend time with anybody else. Well, this love is going to get bigger as we talk about this, and you might already be able to begin to go, whoa, that's the kind of love that God has for us and that he desires for us to have in him. Oh, I gave it away. But let's keep going. Let's keep looking at this. Because wisdom, so this, it says, he who loves wisdom. So it's this love that's connected to wisdom. Well, what is wisdom, you know? And if I were to equate wisdom, I would it's almost like it's a multiplication or an addition problem, probably is a better way to describe it. That you take knowledge, you take discernment and insight, you add that then to understanding, you add that to experience, you add that to intelligent, and you sum it all up. And you, when you apply it all well, when you apply it correctly, that's wisdom. That would be a way that I would be able to describe that. Well, God's word tells us that wisdom is in fearing God. Wisdom is also recognizing that I don't want to be independent of God. I want to be dependent upon him, because all of the pure source of wisdom is found in him. And the truth of the matter is for skeptics, for those that you know, it's like, I don't want to have anything to do with God. In fact, they say, no God. Not meaning, yes, the dual meaning of no, I don't believe there's a God, and no, I'm not, no to God. I don't want anything to do with you. Well, you're not going to find that kind of wisdom apart from him. Oh, you find your own wisdom where you become your own God, you know, and it's like, well, that's a rash statement. Well, think it through, because that's what we do as men, is we rationalize, and this is how I've determined that life should be, as opposed to the truth about life, because the truth about life is knowing who our Creator is and putting our trust in him. You see, it tells us in Isaiah 9:6, as it talks about the coming of the Messiah, it describes him very clearly. It says, for to us a child is born. Whoa, he's going to be a baby. The Messiah is going to come as a child, a baby. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the Messiah is the everlasting Father. Jesus told his disciples when he was trying to help them clearly understand that it's time for him to go away, but he's going away to the Father. And one of the disciples says to him, well, show us the Father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so even though God's word says that the Father is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John 4:24. Jesus is very clear to reveal the Father. Hebrews describes Jesus as the express image. He also describes him as the substance of our faith. That, you know, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So Jesus is that substance. He is the express image. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. So I have this little diagram, and hopefully I can explain this really quickly. This is from my good friend Chip Thompson. Love that man very much. But it shows us, here's an understanding of the nature of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What's his name? Well, his name is Jehovah, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, so anyway, let's get back to the description, because the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, and the Son is not the Spirit, and the Father is not the Spirit, but collectively they are God, and God's name is Jehovah, as we know, Jesus. And so we are made in his image, not images. There is a plural nature to us, though, and that's what it does say. And so what is this nature that we have of ourselves? Well, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And of course, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace, remember, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who brings peace. The Messiah brings peace between an unrighteous man and a holy and righteous God. And he sanctifies us. He sets us apart. Those who put their trust in him wholly or completely, that God will, if you will, preserve blameless our whole spirit, soul, and body. There it is, the three in one, unto the coming of the Lord. So what's the true value, what's the true wisdom is first and foremost is he who loves wisdom makes his father glad. Oh man, when I come to know him, we make God glad. We make him happy. But at the same time period, when we recognize the nature of this passage, it's speaking about Jesus. Listen, he, Jesus, who loves wisdom, makes his father glad. That's the unity, that's the character between the Father and the Son. But then it says, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. A person who trusts in anything else other than who his creator is, it's as though you're prostituting yourself. And God is saying, no, don't allow that corruption in your life. Get free, and the way that we get free is by humbling ourselves and coming to Christ and acknowledging our need, that we are sinners and that we have strayed away. There is none righteous, no, not even one, but God demonstrates his love toward us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us to save us from a wrath to come and to sanctify us by his blood, to justify us as if we'd never sinned. That's the message of this book called the Bible. That's the message that says it's good news. It's the gospel because it's the greatest wisdom. It's the greatest wealth, and it's called life. It's not assets. And the person who knows Christ and is known by him is the wisest and wealthiest of all. God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today.